Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen is also here. We have some exciting material to discuss with our listeners today, David. Several different issues, not just one. But I'd like to start off by talking about something that's probably the number one thing. Let's get the big one done right up front. I want to talk about mistakes. I want to talk about all of us have come up short, haven't we? Jesus permitted others to correct their mistakes, so he's certainly going to permit us.
Does everybody make mistakes?
Absolutely everybody makes mistakes. There isn't anyone here that's perfect. Well, maybe you're an engineer. But other than that, everybody makes mistakes.
I was thinking the same thing.
Were you?
Took the words right out of my mouth.
We should share with our listeners that Carla DeJesus has been our faithful engineer for years. She has been working with Dave and I, and she's moving on to greener pastures. Today is her last day with us. We are eternally grateful for her work, and she is just about mistake-free. A very pleasant lady to work with. If you see Carla sometime in the future, be sure to remind her that you appreciate the work that she did for Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. In any case, we're going to examine people's lives, biographies from multimillionaires. Many of these millionaires have experienced bankruptcy several times over. They simply discovered that failure is not fatal. Failure is merely an opinion. Because you stopped once doesn't mean you stop forever. Jesus never disconnected from those who made mistakes with their lives. Peter was one of his favorite disciples. Peter denied him 6 times. Then he confessed his sins to Jesus, and Jesus forgave him. He became one of the greatest apostles in the history of the church. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. God forgave him. Look at Samson. He fell into sexual temptations with Delilah. Yet he is one of the champions of our faith, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive others. Everybody hurts somewhere. Their mistakes stay on their mind. Give them another chance. Mistakes are correctable. Well, Jesus knew this. Jesus permitted others to correct their mistakes. This was one of the leadership secrets that Jesus shared with many. You have any thoughts on mistakes, David, that I would imagine that you probably have pearls of wisdom in that arena, being a pastor as many years as you have been?
Well, it involves knowing your worth, knowing your gifts. Many times people don't know who you are. Some people may never discover who you are. It's not really important what they do. What is important is that you discover yourself. If your gifts and your talents are brought forward, you might want to know what they are. Popularity is when other people like you. But happiness is when you like yourself. There's an interesting story when Jesus visited the home of Lazarus and his 2 sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha, busy with homework, was agitated when Mary, who was simply sitting down, just listening to Jesus talk, and every word, she never missed it. But when Martha complained, Jesus replied, "Mary hath chosen the good part." He knew his personal worth. He knew that his own words were life. He was self-confident and expected to be treated well. Jesus honored those who discerned his worth. I think that's going to be as important as learning how to handle your mistakes. Jesus reacted favorably to a woman who washed his feet. And he hath not only washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since this time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. That's some kind of an investment that a person makes. My head with oil, and thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with an ointment. Jesus, he knew what it was worth. And that was one of the leadership secrets of Jesus. Everybody has things that describe them. You want to describe yourself today? Gift, you want to describe Carla? You just did, Carla.
Yes.
You described her pretty good. You see her worth. You made something out of that, and she made very few mistakes while she was here at the station.
That's correct.
And so, that's correct. Both of those points are valuable.
Are very valuable.
To each of us. Make few mistakes. Jump on what you're worth.
I thank you, David. Those are very, very positive words. Jesus understood his worth. And each one of us have to follow that suit, that entire thought process. David, thank you for explaining that. When those things come right out of the Bible and you cite the scriptures where we can reflect on these issues, it sure makes it meaningful. And I thank you very much for doing that. Jesus did those things as well. Jesus never tried to succeed alone. Did you ever notice that? He's always working with other people. You need people. Jesus needed people. You need God. Everything you have came from God. That's a good way to look at it. Success is a collection of relationships. Without clients, a lawyer has no career. Without patients, the doctor has no one to heal. Without a composer, a singer has nothing to sing. You see, your future is connected to people. So develop people skills. Jesus constantly talked to his Heavenly Father. He talked to his disciples. He talked to everybody. At 12, he exchanged with the scribes and the priests in the temple. He talked to tax collectors. He talked to fishermen. He talked to the doctors. He talked to the lawyers. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. That's found in John chapter 5, verse 30. You can read that for yourself. You need problem solvers in your life. You need a good lawyer. You need a good doctor. You need a good financial advisor. You need your family. You need a godly pastor. You need people. Listen to their inner voice of the Holy Spirit. Obey every instruction. You see, Jesus did that. He never tried to succeed alone. We are not in this world alone. None of us could survive alone. That's what it takes, team effort. And those people that are around you need you, and you need them. Very good lesson to learn. Do not try to accomplish anything alone. David, you're a team player. You've always worked with others. You're our chaplain here at Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. Do you find being a team player is something that comes natural to you, or is it something you have to work at?
Both. Mm-hmm. I think you have to work at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't think, well, I've got it made here. I'll just back away a little bit and slough off. I'm trying to do something better every week that I come here. You got to learn from each other. Well, I've learned a lot while I've been here. I remember when I started in the Courier Singing Group. We came to Pennsylvania. We were ignorant of how to do music.
Mm-hmm.
We're ignorant of what the church could be and how to make money. We didn't know how to make money. We'd ask for an offering. If it was $15, $20, that's what we got. We left saying, wow, how are we going to make it on $20? But then we were singing with a group one night, and they came to us and said, how your courier's making it without a table full of stuff? What do you mean a table full of stuff? They said, well, we can give you information to where you can buy a songbook from a company. If you buy enough of them, you get them 10 cents. And you can get a picture of your group. That'll help you in the future. Put another 5 cents with that. And then there's a couple things that other than we did too. And we got something together. We'd make a package that we paid like 30 cents for. And then we'd sell it for a buck. all of a sudden we said, hey, there's something that can help us. If everybody bought one of these, we could make, forget the offering, we can make money just at the table. I've appreciated those guys. We could still be probably broken up and said, hey, we can't make it. This is not what we were supposed to do. But somebody came along and gave us some information to make us succeed. We need people. We need God. We need each other.
Yes.
And look at the station here. How do we make it every? I am amazed how we make it every week, every month.
Yes.
Totally sponsored by people who give.
That's exactly right.
Man, we're not out there putting our money in here. We're coming here to do the job, but God pays the bills through you who are listening. If you've never given a dollar, why not send one? What if everybody that hears us today would send $1? Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be.
And it would be wonderful. So we need you, and we need what you have, and we need your ideas. If you don't like what's happening on the radio, give us some ideas. Tell us what you think you'd like to hear. We're not closed doors here that we think we know it all. We could take some advice. I have been the kind of a preacher. Tell me what to preach and show me how, and I'll learn from you. And give me a book. Give me 10 books. I mean, I have 500 books now in my library that taught me everything I know.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. I like your pearls of wisdom. I'm glad you interject those.
Would you like to give the first dollar?
Well, yes.
I'm receiving it right now.
All right. I'll be glad to pass
it. Carla, do you have a dollar?
Yeah. You see, there he goes. He's on
the way. I've already made
success.
$2. Yes, sir.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, Jesus knew that money was everywhere. Money's everywhere you want it to be. And that's true. Money is everywhere. Money is anything of value, really. You see, your time is money. Your knowledge is money. Your skills, your gifts, your talent, that's all money. Stop seeing money as merely something you carry around in your wallet. View money as anything you possess that solves a problem for someone. Money is everywhere. Jesus knew that money even existed in the most unlikely places. Money is really anywhere you want it to be. Colonel Sanders wanted it to be something he loved, his unique fried chicken. Muhammad Ali found his financial success in boxing. We've used that example before, haven't we? Peter was a fisherman. Tax money was needed. Jesus told him where the money could be found. Least we should offend them. Go thou to the sea and cast thy hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto for me and thee. Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. That's what Jesus said. Do you love flowers and long to make your living owning a flower shop? Well, that is where your money is. That's where your money can be found. Jesus knew that money existed everywhere. Jesus knew that money was anywhere you really wanted it to be. So you have the same liberties of uncovering your fountain, your dollars, your money, your talents, your time, all quite valuable. And if you can find it in your heart to share some of that talent and money with Cumberland Valley Christian Radio, we would deeply appreciate it. Let's look at some specific goals. Those of you at home might want to grab a tablet and a pencil, because I'm going to give you some material now that you might want to jot down some thoughts here. I put some thought into this, and I'm going to try to make some solid points. Decide what you really want. Now, let me read a little story here. In 1952, a prominent university discovered that only 3 out of 100 graduates had written down a clear list of goals. 10 years later, their follow-up study showed that 3% of the graduating class had accomplished more financially than the remaining 97% of the class. Those 3% were the same graduates who had written down their goals. Write the vision and make it a plan upon the table, that it might run and readeth it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. When you decide what you want, the how to do it will emerge. Jesus knew his purpose and his mission. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost. You can read that in Luke chapter 19. He knew the product he had to offer. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. You see, Jesus had a sense of destiny. He knew where he wanted to go. He knew where people needed him. In John chapter 4, you can read about that. Jesus knew that achievers were detailed workers. For which of you intends to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, where he has sufficient to finish it? Luke chapter 14. Okay, now here's your homework assignment, those of you who gathered a tablet and a pen. Take 4 sheets of paper, and at the top of sheet number 1, write, my lifetime dreams and goals. I want you to write down my lifetime dreams and goals. Write in total detail everything you would like to become, everything you would like to do, or have during your lifetime. Dream your dreams in detail on paper. Number 2, take sheet number 2 and write my 12-month goals. And on this paper, list everything you want to get done within the next 12 months. Now take a 3rd sheet of paper and write my 30-day goal. And write out in detail what you'd like to accomplish for the next 30 days. Take the 4th sheet of paper and write my ideal daily routine. Write my ideal daily routine. Write down the 6 most important things you will do in the next 24 hours. You see, the secrets of your future is hidden in your daily routine. Set your goals. And the reason I wanted to pay so much credence to this part, David, is that I was teaching individual development programs for almost my whole life. And this is one thing that I taught many, 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 many times, to write down your goals. But it's the one thing that I never totally completed. I would write down short-term goals and long-term goals here and there, but I never put the whole thing down on a piece of paper. If I would have done that, I believe my life would have been a little bit different. Now, here I am in my senior years, and it might be just too late for me to start writing about long-term goals.
Yeah, 20-year goals. 20, yeah, what is 20, your 20-year?
20-year goals. Now, yes.
The goal now is to make it from 80 to 90. 9 years. Can I make it 9 more years?
So we have to start talking about short-term goals and accomplishing things. However, as I look back, I really, really do believe, had I written down long-term goals, it would have made my life different. I would have ended up differently, because I did have goals and ambitions, but I never wrote them down enough to be complete. And I think I fell short there. Did you ever do that, Dave?
I don't know if I ever put down on paper.
Yeah.
My goals were so out in the open all the time that I didn't need to put them on paper. They stared me in the face every time I got up in the morning, and there they were. What am I going to do about it? Well, when I retired, you know what? All of a sudden, I realized how easy I was having it compared to waking up every morning wondering, who am I going to call? Who's going to get on the phone? Who's going to write this letter for me? How am I going to do this? How can I do? Retirement is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
You that are listening today, and you're just sitting there saying, oh, you better believe it, Dave. Retirement is glorious. I don't have to do anything if I don't want to. If I just want to sit here all day, read, watch television, go out and pull some weeds. That's sometimes that's a good day.
That's an excellent day.
Go to bed at night and you lay there and it's time to say your prayers and you say, oh God, what a wonderful day this has been.
Yes.
Relaxed, no pressure, nobody pushed me. And I just enjoyed the day. Give me another one like that tomorrow. It's a great prayer.
Exactly right, David. That's how it is. Yes. I like retirement life as well. I only do one thing a day. It might take me all day to do it, but one thing a day. Yes, it is. It is great. But However, had I planned properly for it many, many years ago, I just feel in the back of my head that some of those things I dreamed about accomplishing, I never got a chance to fully do them. And I wish I would have. And if I'd have written them down, I think it would have made a difference. Anyway, that's why I share this with the listeners, because I do believe it's something that's very important.
Well, I think that sometimes people try to start too big.
Mm-hmm.
There's a secret to starting little
and
starting small. Jesus, I think he recommended that we do that. Everything starts small. You don't get married and have 10 children. You start with one.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you take those fertilization pills.
Look, there's always somebody who spoils the story, right? Go.
No, but you're right. And that's a sign of the times. All too often we associate our youth with being impatient. They want it all now. And they look at what their parents have and they say, hey, you do realize it took us a lifetime to get where we are. And the young people that are 25 years old, they think they should be able to live the same as their parents do. Now, wait a minute, it's not that simple. We paid dues dearly to get where we are in our life. So your words are well spoken. Jesus talks about that very issue that you just mentioned, Dave. Jesus knew that every great achievement required a willingness to begin small. Everything big starts little. Just think for a moment. An oak tree began as an acorn. And you know that acorn would have to be in the ground for about 40 years before it turns into a mighty oak and produces acorn itself? A six-foot man begins as a tiny embryo in his mother's womb. Be willing to begin small. Start with whatever you have. Everything you possess is a starting point. Do not be like the man in the Bible who had one talent and refused to use it. Remember, use whatever you have been given, and more will come to you. Jesus began in a stable, but he did not stay there. He went 30 years without performing miracles. But one day he launched his first miracle, and of course the rest is history. David had a slingshot, but he became a king. Joseph was sold as a slave, but he became the prime minister of Egypt. The widow of Zarephath had a small pancake, but she sewed it into the work of God and created a continuous supply during the famine. Whatever you have been given is enough to create anything you have been promised.
I think one of the big problems of all this that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and this is good stuff. This is something that makes people think.
Yeah.
When I got married, 7 days into our marriage, we had a fire and burned everything down.
Oh, my. Seven days.
And Judy and I sent, I brought a girl from California to be my wife. We were sitting in Pennsylvania with nothing. All the clothes, all the college library, everything was gone.
Wedding gifts?
Everything. We did not have one dime to our name.
Oh, my goodness.
In about 20 minutes, it burned to the ground. You know what? I never complained to God about that. I didn't get on my knees and say, oh God, why did you do this? Blah, 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 blah. I lived with it. Mm-hmm. I said, I can make the best of this anyway. And I can prove that I can live with Judy. If it has to be on love, then let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 59 years later, I'm still with the same lady who stood that night seven days after we were married and cried with me as flames took everything we owned. 17 years ago, a man and his family came and said, Dave, I want to build you a house. You get the plans, and I'll do it for free. Can you believe that happened to me?
Oh, my.
And
what a miracle.
So don't complain. Do not complain about your life.
Yeah.
And you'd be shocked at what God can do for you.
That's right. David, you have some perfect examples of how we start out small and let it grow. And I think of all the business people. You ever hear the story about famous Amos, the man who made the chocolate cookies? You know, he was so obsessed with his business, and he just loved what he was doing. He made his cookies, and he gave them away. That's how he got started. It took all of his money to make these cookies, and he gave them away, and then eventually people started buying his cookies. Isn't that a remarkable story?
I still buy
and
them.
Now you can buy Famous Amos cookies in every grocery store in the United States.
All the restaurants are now putting chocolate cookies.
Yeah.
Chocolate chip. When you pay the restaurant, you have a good dollar or two. Hey, pick up a bag of
Famous Amos. Well, David, you know, we could go on and on, and perhaps we'll have an opportunity to get into these kind of subjects here next week. But for now, we've exhausted our time. It's time for us to say goodbye. And until we meet again, this is Giff Briner saying so long. Keep smiling.
Dave Colonin, I'm with him all the way. See you next time. Bye-bye.